It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Ivy Nation, welcome back to the Irish Breakdown Podcast. We are live here on a Monday talking NFL drafts, recapping the 3 days of the events, also some priority free agents that had been signed by Notre Dame, some UDFAs, as well as a rookie minicamp invite. Also, Sean, a 2023 draft prospect got signed by the Washington Commanders, which we'll get into as well. A little bit of a fun one that popped up over the weekend. We're going to start off, though, by Mr. Dallas Golden, talk about the commitment, the 2025 defensive back out of Tampa Bay, Florida, Berkeley Prep to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And by the way, we'll give you a little peek ahead to some 2025 names that you'll know in the NFL draft space for Notre Dame. I know Brian Driscoll has highlighted both sides of the football the last couple days on irishbreakdown.com. And folks, might have an interview for you all at the end of the show, so stay tuned. That one is still, if it happens, it happens, but we'll get there when we get there. We'll cross that bridge as it sees fit. Sean Davis, what's up, man? How are you?
Dolar, how you doing, man? This was your dream weekend, right? Commitments, NFL draft, scouting. It's nothing better for you.
I mean, it was a good weekend, man. It was a good weekend. It's also a very tiring weekend. I mean, because I was staying up a lot later than I typically do stay up, and I had podcast recaps and written articles, and it was a busy weekend, man. It was busy, though. Did you enjoy the festivities? I don't know how seriously you take the NFL draft in your household. I'm not sure.
Day one and two.
Okay.
After day one and two, I'll flip back and forth every now and then. But, you know, it was a pretty good weekend. Good. Lots of NBA basketball for the playoffs. You know, got into a little bit of hockey, you know, because really hockey is kind of the best playoff going if you really want to talk about it when it comes to competition. So,
yeah.
And the White Sox, they actually swept the series. So it was.
They swept the series?
I saw them
play the Phillies like a week and a half ago, and that was one of the worst. That was one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen in my entire life. So I'm happy to hear. Because I know they got the Luis Robert kid, who's really good, but he's banged up, right? Like, I don't even think he's playing. So
yeah, he's hurt. Yeah, we had to go down to the farm system and bring up Tommy Pham.
I forgot about Tommy Pham, man. Okay, all right. I haven't heard that name in a couple years.
Yeah, the Rays are struggling. Tampa Bay, they're struggling as well, and yeah, the White Sox ended up sweeping them. So
it's been weird so far, Sean. Some Philadelphia Phillies fan, obviously. They got off to a very slow start, and then they have been red hot the last like 3 weeks, but yet still can't really make up that much ground on the Braves. The Braves are excellent. it's a little disheartening,
it's
to be honest.
It's crazy. And then you watch the Dodgers couldn't score runs, and then all of a sudden they just get piping hot.
Right.
Like they do every year. It is.
Every year.
The more things change, the more they seem to stay stay the same. Yep. Yankees are doing their thing, but then the Baltimore Orioles are really good. The Blue, it's going to be a competitive season.
It is, man. I feel like there's a lot. So it's weird. I feel like the parity of Major League Baseball is not great right now. Like, there's a few really good baseball teams. There's a bunch of, like, not really good baseball teams, but that's mm-hmm. another conversation for another day.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got a pretty jam-packed show today, Sean. I mean, there might be like 5 segments today. I haven't even really thought it out in my head too much yet, man. But it's gonna be a long show. It's gonna be a long show, especially if we have an interview at the end. So, Sean, let's start out though. Of course, recruiting hour typically, obviously mixing in some NFL draft, but we have to start out with Dallas Golden, 2025 defensive back out of Tampa Bay, Florida, Berkeley Prep, 6 foot. 165 pounds, 6 foot, 176 pounds, listed between those two numbers on most major recruiting platforms. Committed to Notre Dame, Sean. He listed he didn't list finalists. He said on his graphic, it said over schools like Florida State, Georgia, etc. So it's obviously a very healthy list, listed as a top 100 player by at least 2 platforms. For me, Sean, I've been talking about this even before it was kind of foregone conclusion that Dallas Golden was going to end up in Notre Dame. Top 50 player, in my opinion, in this class. I think that kid is dynamic. I would not be shocked if he has another big year as a senior and maybe he goes to an all-star game and shows out. Would not be shocked if Dallas Golden ends up being a 5-star. Like, I think he has that type of upside. So we'll talk about it, man. The 20th commitment for Notre Dame in the 2025 class and arguably, in my opinion, the best player that has committed to Notre Dame so far in the 2025 class. We'll have that conversation. So initial reaction, Sean, I know that we talked a couple days ago about that this was going to happen on Sunday. So we had a nice little heads up on it, obviously, but your initial thoughts, Dallas Golden ending up with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Losses can turn into wins. That's my initial thought. Notre Dame lost a 5-star talent from Berkeley Prep. They had him in the class. They initially lost him. And the same programs came after Dallas Golden late in this process. and put the pressure on. And Notre Dame this time, with Mike Mickens leading the way, was able to hold on, right? So we talk about, you know, you might lose a Justin Scott, but you're still trying to get into Chicago. So that turns into Chris Burgess Jr. And then it turns into other kids in 25 and 26. You have to hammer at these programs like Berkeley Prep, IMG, the Chicagoland area. They've done a job, and they're starting to see the fruit, or have seen the fruit, for 4 to 5 seasons in the St. Louis area. Why? Because they took some losses, and eventually they won, eventually got a Kyron Williams, and look what it's turned into. And so that's my initial thought. This is the result of hard work and not giving up on talent field programs across the nation. And we see them doing the same thing in California, going after programs that are feeders into schools like USC and Oregon for a long time, and having the audacity to say, even if we take a loss, eventually we're going to end up winning some kids from this program. They believe that. So salute to this staff and the work that they put in with Dallas Golden. And man, we're going to look forward to seeing even more fruit and seeing that they can close this class out and make it, at worst, a top 3 to 5 class.
Yeah. Sean, you know what's funny? I remember my first conversation with Dallas Golden via DM when he was a freshman, because he got offered by Notre Dame when he was a freshman in college, okay? I remember talking to him, asking him, because Keon Keeley was committed to the class at that point. And I said, has Keon been recruiting you already, man? Got the offer now. And he had said, paraphrasing, that Keon was just like glowing about Notre Dame, which of course makes it super sad because Keon did not end up with Notre Dame. But hey, man, a little bit of an assist to Keon Keeley, because he laid in some early foundational work on Mr. Dallas Golden to get Notre Dame high on his list. There's no doubt about it. And obviously at the end, we'll have a lot more on, you know, directly from Dallas and maybe from some people from Dallas's family. We'll get there when we get there, though, okay? We'll get there. But obviously the authenticity of Notre Dame, the longevity of Notre Dame, the development of cornerback that we're now seeing, because we'll talk about it. Somebody asked in the chat, Sean, about a comp, and I actually put a post on the message board this morning giving my thoughts, because Brian Driscoll went live yesterday on a live show, but I wanted to put my thoughts out there on Dallas Golden and what I see him as a player. And Sean, I had compared him in my post to a player who actually was drafted number 40 overall on Saturday in the second round of the 2024 NFL draft. Name is Mr. Cooper DeJean, who is a defensive back out of Iowa that was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, Sean. And that comparison comes from Simply. And I know it's really funny because Cooper DeJean's a white guy, right? So everyone's like, white defensive back? He can't be athletic. No way. Go look at his track numbers. Go look at his testing numbers. Go watch his film. Cooper DeJean is a heck of an athlete. And you know how we know that, Sean? Because at Iowa, he played nickel early on in his career. Was fantastic. He played outside corner. He's fantastic. Also can play safety. He can literally do anything he wants. He's also a really dynamic punt returner for Iowa as well. Sean, he could have played offense if he wanted to at Iowa. Like, he's that dynamic of a weapon. And that's where that comparison comes from. What position is Dallas Golden going to play, Sean? Next to his name, we're going to have a CB next to him, because he's going to be playing corner early on in his career. But if Dallas Golden ended up starting at nickel as a true freshman, or eventually transition to a playmaking safety down the road as he gains a little bit more mass and strength to his profile, would it shock you? Certainly wouldn't me, man. This is a versatile weapon defensively that I can't wait to see what Al Golden can do with him.
Al Golden gets even more aggressive. He's probably in the lab right now. I know he's preparing for this upcoming 24 season. When you think about, once this 25 class finally gets on campus, think about the level of range and length they have now in that secondary. With the young kids coming in, you're bringing Christian Gray back, you're bringing Jaden Mickey back, who's going to be probably the shortest and the one that doesn't have as much length as everybody else. But then you'll have experience on the back end with the Don Shuler, some of the other guys coming in at 24. We're hearing buzz about Kennedy Urlacho. I don't know how real that is, but they're talking about him making an impact in special teams. And then you start talking about Talich, you talk about Minich, all the other young players they have coming in. Even with the loss of Micah Bell, the beat goes on, man. Like the song says from back in the 80s, you know, the beat goes on. And that's what Mike Mickens now, you know, having full control of the secondary. We always felt like, and like they said, you have Carson Hobbs and Leonard Moore. People brought them up in the chat. The length and athleticism and playmakers, can we say that? All of these kids can tackle the block, whether it's cornerback, safety, DB, nickel. All of them love to play the game. All of them love to tackle. And Dallas Golden is the best of the bunch. That's what makes it super exciting. Yeah. Like when we got the news, it was like, yeah, this is what we dreamed about. And we've been talking about it on previous shows. Like if Notre Dame can close this defensive back class out with Dallas Golden and by chance get maybe another guy, this might be the greatest class definitely the greatest secondary class we've seen in Notre Dame in a long time.
Well, Sean, let's talk about it two layers. Ready? Let's start with what it is right now, which I would argue it's the best in several years at Notre Dame in the secondary. Okay. Let's talk about that. The cornerback class as of today. And obviously we know Notre Dame wants to get to three corners at least potentially in this class. So I don't think we're done at cornerback recruiting. And we'll talk about that in the end, the second part of this conversation. But Dallas Golden is now merged with Cree Thomas as the two commits in the class. And I think people forget about Cree because Cree's been in the class for a long time since last summer, right? So he's been there for a while, Sean. But I really love the comparison between the two as corners because they're very different players. Mm-hmm. Cree is longer than Dallas, smooth, zone heavy, can also play off man. Just I remember talking to his coach, and his coach obviously coached Benjamin Morrison in college as well. And he kind of said a similar comparison of Benjamin was more explosive than Cree, but Cree's smoother and longer. A guy that can really just, he kind of like just eases into things, right, Sean? He had five interceptions last year, had at least one pick six along for Brophy Prep. And he is just that kid that is going to go unnoticed by some because he's not as explosive as a couple kids, including Dallas Golden. But man, can turn and run, smooth hips, can change direction, can play inside and out. He could play safety as well, I believe, on the next level with his versatility and his change of direction move. So he's kind of the smooth customer corner. While Dallas Golden, he's an explosive kid at corner. He's like what I think of as that true, big, physically dense, straight line, just bullet as a defensive back, man. Like I want to put him in off man and tell him to stick his foot in the ground and explode downhill, explode laterally, turn and run. And of course we know when Dallas Golden gets the football in his hands, special, man, special, special football player. You're going to pop on his film, folks. You're going to see him playing wildcat quarterback. You're going to see him play wide receiver. You're going to see him play running back. He's going to be playing slot back. He's going to be playing wildcat quarterback. He plays a little bit of everything. So first and foremost, Sean, before we throw the safeties in this conversation, I really love the comparison between Cree Thomas and Dallas Golden because I think they're just such different players, which I think is going to create a very good duo at worst in this class.
You know what I'm interested in, though? Because Notre Dame, majority is a field boundary team. Like, okay, you're a boundary corner, you're a field corner. You get a talent like this, does that allow you in certain matchups against certain teams to say, you follow that guy?
Yeah.
If he goes in the slot, he's yours. If he goes to the field, he's yours. If he goes to the boundary, that's the type of talent Dallas Golden has. He really has that type of talent. I'm super excited about his addition. As I said before, Al Golden is probably like, man, the mad scientist right now. You know, even going into the 24th season with what he has in the secondary, with the talent they're acquiring. And I think they're doing a really good job of acquiring. Mike Mickens always knows what he wants. But I think they're acquiring for the now, but they're also looking forward to the future and how they can get better. And I think they're doing that at all three levels. And I think the recruiting bears that out.
Yeah, I would agree. And because it's a great conversation, Sean, because I think we're going to hit a point at some point with Notre Dame cornerback play where we can kind of get rid of the field boundary thing in our head and just be like, hey, they can play either side. Like it's a left or right conversation at that point. Because if you ask me like, all right, so Dallas Golden, Cree Thomas, Cree is more of a field corner, in my opinion. Dallas is more of a is more of a boundary corner. But I think that Dallas can do both at a high level. And then if you get a, and we'll talk about this in a few, if you get a Mark Zachary and you keep, you know, develop Leonard Moore and develop Carson Hobbs, then you're going to be in a situation where, like, who cares who's in the field and who cares in the boundary? Just get on the field. Like, it doesn't matter anymore, man. It really doesn't matter. So I think, and I think that's why recruiting guys like Dallas Golden is so important, because that takes the labels off of guys. We need to stop hyper-focusing on corner, safety, nickel labels. We need to stop, because where Notre Dame is going, I'm telling you this, I'm predicting this. I don't know this for a fact, but I am predicting this right now, Sean. In 2 to 3 years, we're just going to be talking about left, right corner. We're not going to be talking about boundary or field. I don't think that that's going to be a long-term thing. We're seeing it in the NFL right now. The NFL used to play boundary and field a whole lot too. They don't do that anymore, man. They play left and right. Like, they just play it, or guys follow each other, kind of to your point earlier in the show. I don't think that we're going to need to hyper-focus on the labeling of positions in the secondary that much longer. I think eventually it's just going to be your corner that can play everywhere. And I think that is what we are going to see, especially with Dallas, man, because Dallas can go inside and play nickel at a very high level, in my opinion. I think that honestly, it's like a Tyrann Mathieu thing, Sean. Tyrann Mathieu was a great outside corner at LSU. Great. And I think Tyrann Mathieu would have been a very good corner in the NFL. But you know where the NFL put Tyrann Mathieu before long? Played him at nickel, man, because I could get him involved in every aspect, right? Filling against the run, alley work, blitzing off the edge, like doing all these different types of things, playing man coverage, playing zone, being able to move all over the place. That's where the game's going, in my opinion. I'm excited for it, sir. Now let's throw in the safeties, though. If Notre Dame ended today, guys, they would be short a safety, a corner number, because they do want to get to three in this class. But if you had Cree Thomas, Dallas Golden behind them, you got Ivan Taylor and Ethan Long. Okay, Ivan Taylor, another kid that I think is a top 100 player, a top 50 player in this class, excuse me. I think that Ethan Long is a bona fide 4-star in this class as well. Sean, that is a dynamite class, man. Ooh, man. That was just your four in most years. You'd be talking about, bro, that's absurd. That's an absurdly talented deep class.
And this is one of those parting gifts that we greatly appreciate our guy Chris O'Leary for, right? And look, who's to say that another kid from the East Coast at the safety position doesn't eventually end up in the class? Now you're really talking about it. Now you're really taking the class to the next level. We'll get to that, you know, in a few moments. But I totally agree with you. I think this is a transformative class for Notre Dame. In the defensive backfield. And what I mean by that is not only because I think the work has been put in by Mike Mickens to kind of change the narrative when it comes to defensive back play at Notre Dame. When you see Kyle Hamilton get drafted, when you see this past weekend, you know, we felt like we knew the injuries. And you saw it pretty consistently. Injury concerns defensively, and the defensive class got pushed down because of all of the offensive talent.
Even for minute injuries too, Sean. Yes, like yes. Cooper DeJean was fully cleared, and there was no long term implications, and he fell to the second round. Probably would have been a top 25 pick otherwise. Even a guy like Brian Thomas Jr., there was the wide receiver out of LSU, Sean. He was going to be potentially a top 15 pick in this class, and he fell 8 to 10 spots because of soft tissue stuff that he's had in the past. So yeah, man, the NFL has taken those just minor injuries a lot more seriously now, because I think especially those soft tissues, those things tend to linger a little bit, to your point. It's a great point.
The narrative has been changing. It's going to continue to change when Ben Morrison gets drafted. And I presume right now, presumably he's a first-round pick right now, according to boards right now, but he's going to go first, second day. I feel pretty good stepping out on that limb. And by saying that, now you start to open up this thing where the recruiting starts to line up, because the recruiting starts it, but now the increase in seeing the actual fruit impacts the recruiting further, and we're starting to see the fruit of that. That's what we're starting to see. Cal Hamilton walk across the stage, Cam Hart walking across, Xavier Watts and Benjamin Morrison next year. Now that has become evident in their recruiting. And now that's going to change how Notre Dame plays and how they're viewed from opposite coaching staffs, right? Because, yep. You know, coaches loved going at the Notre Dame secondary for a long time. For a long time. It's like, yeah, we can take advantage there, especially at the safeties. Yeah, we can get them at the safety position. And we just came out of a class where a lot of people can point to the Ohio State game and a lot of people place blame on the safety position. Look there. Sure. If we had a playmaker at safety, we win that game. Well, now you're getting a class full of playmakers in the 25 class. So that won't be a problem in the future in big games.
Sean, you know what's the best thing too? Here's the question that people are going to have after this class. We're like, how are they possibly going to keep all those guys? How are they possibly going to get them all a rolling on the field? That's the problem you want to have, guys. That's the problem you want to have. Wow, we have too much talent. We have so much talent that we need to figure it out. That's where you want to be, man. You don't want to be in a situation where it's like, I don't know if we can fill all those spots because we don't have enough good players or enough talent. Notre Dame in the secondary very soon here is going to have so much talent that you're going to say, man, I don't know how they're going to keep all those guys happy. I don't know how they're going to find roles for all those guys. And if they're good enough, they will. Trust me, they will. Notre Dame will find a role for these guys that want to be at Notre Dame and that are extremely talented. That is where you want to be. Now let's talk about this, Sean. Let's talk about this real quick. The rest of the class, okay? Mm-hmm. We have already gotten it out there. Dallas Golden, special talent. Dallas Golden with Cree Thomas, Ivan Taylor, and Ethan Long. Dang good secondary class in 2025. But it's not done yet, baby. It's not done yet. Sean, if you ask me today, who do I still feel good to very good about, okay, in this class? Still feel very good about where things are with Mr. Jadon Blair out of Mount Tabor in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 6'4" safety. Still feel good about where things are with Ben Davis, cornerback out of Indianapolis, Indiana, Mr. Mark Zachary. Notre Dame has a chance to not only get the four-man haul that we have already talked about that is already committed to the class, a part of the 20 commits in the class, Sean, but if they get Jadon Blair and they're able to get Mark Zachary, if they get one of those kids, but if they get both of those, Sean, I don't even know what to think anymore. That is not only, look, flat out, and there might even be a secondary class that somebody, you know, whether it's 247 or On3, whoever, that ranks higher than that class, but there's no better class in the country than that class, in my opinion. No better. Because the way I look at it is Jadon Blair, top 50 kid. Ivan Taylor, top 50 kid. Dallas Golden, top 50 kid. Mark Zachary, top 100 kid. I think that's pretty safe, right? Ethan Long, Cree Thomas. That is bananas, sir. Absolute bananas.
It's nothing I can add to that. They're like, yo, it's a very good chance that they add two more top 100 players to this class, top 150 at worst.
And not that we just feel like okay about Sean or they have an outside chance, like guys that we legitimately feel good about for Notre Dame right now to varying degrees. I mean, and for people in the chat, again, a couple of mailbags are coming in. Super chats today. We don't have time for a mailbag, a long show today, folks. We are just in section one right now, man. There's gonna be like five or six sections today, all right? So throw the super chats in there if you need a question answered today. And we appreciate you all for the super chats and the continued support. And also, Sean, there is a chance that if Notre Dame does, so let's say hypothetically speaking, let's say they get Mark Zachary in the class. So their three-man haul would be Mark Zachary, Dallas Golden, and Cree Thomas if they're able to close on Zachary. There is a chance that Notre Dame still pushes for a fourth corner because after the 2024 season, Sean, there's a chance that Notre Dame's going to be down a couple more corners. I mean, we're already talking about entering the transfer portal this spring cycle right now for a corner because Clarence Lewis just left. Yeah. I mean, we'll talk about the way too early mock drafts that have Benjamin Morrison potentially leaving after this season. I mean, there's going to be that type of stuff happening. You know, how long is Chance Tucker going to be here and all those types of things, right? So Notre Dame's going to have to bring some bodies in the corner class. So not just three anymore, right? Not just three. Notre Dame could go to four. Yeah. We've been told that there are people on the Notre Dame staff that want to push for four. And the names that you need to know on that side are You have Tristan Haynes out of the state of Oklahoma, long athletic kid that can play both sides of the football. You have Chuck McDonald out of Mater Dei out in the state of California. And you have Jameer Joseph, who's a local kid to me here in the state of New Jersey as well. So there's a chance, Sean, that not only could they get three safeties in this class, counting Jadon Blair, if they are able to close on Jadon, but they could end up with four corners in this class. And I will say this, Sean, you want another hot, actually, this isn't even a hot take. If you get those three corners we talked about, including Mark Zachary, and you're able to land a Tristan Haynes, a Jameer Joseph, or Chuck McDonald, That's dumb, man. I don't have another adjective for it. That is stupid. How could you possibly hold that four-man class? But you know how you could do it, Sean? Because what Mike Mickens is doing with those cornerbacks right now, my friend. We know Cam Hart fell in the draft. We'll talk about that, right? We will have that conversation. But Benjamin Morrison, Christian Gray in the pipeline, the other young cats, the Jaden Mickeys, the Carson Hobbs, Leonard Moore coming to campus, some very talented corners, obviously, they continue to want to play for Mike Mickens, and it is not unrealistic to think that Notre Dame could potentially get at least a three, but could get to four in this class.
I think they will. If you ask me today, Sean, do you think they're going to get to four? I think fortune is going to smile upon this class. And I think the momentum and the way that they're riding in the defensive backfield is going to continue. And probably, like we said, I think it's going to supersede our expectations. Where I sit here today and the way I feel about things today, I think the eventual haul is going to supersede our expectations. I think the entire 25 class is going to exceed expectations. For a lot of people. Now, I think nationally, I think people are really, you know, because early on people were like, oh, Notre Dame always jumps out. No, that's what they do, right? And they expected, most people expected to have some type of rumblings about Deuce at this point, right? And they expected some other things to happen, right? But Notre Dame is still in on big-time talent. At the linebacker position, they're still long in on big time talent at the defensive back position.
Yep.
And the kids, this is a statement being made by the high school kids. That's what I think we need to pick up on. The high school kids are making the statement that Notre Dame is more impactful on the recruiting trail and has a bigger buzz than they've had in the previous two cycles. And it's been continually building. And you're going to see that even more in the 26 class. This is because you start to see the national pundits now paying attention to the story. You're saying, oh, Notre Dame has the number one class, or they have the number two class. Yeah, it's been that way. And I don't think they're going anywhere. That fade down the stretch that eventually lands Notre Dame in between 8 to 11, I don't know if that's coming in the 25 class.
So it's funny, Sean, I'm even thinking back to 2026 now, right? And for people that don't know, and you would have found this out on the message board last night, but Notre Dame's down visiting, a couple coaches are down at IMG today, right? Mm-hmm. In there. And Sean, they're in a pretty good early spot with like Zach Fort in the 2026 class, the star safety, who I'm going to be honest, man, when I first saw a top 50 or top 35, I think by one service, safety from IMG Academy that has been being recruited since he was a freshman in college. When I first saw his name on the list of guys that were getting offered in Pot of Gold, I was like, yeah, right, dog. not a chance. But then you talk to him, he makes it a priority to come up and visit right after the thing. And you're like, oh, this is the Mike Mickens effect, man. Even though he's a safety rather than a corner. I mean, Mike Mickens is the secondary coach now. This is the Mike Mickens effect, I think it really is. And you're seeing it now. We wanted a immediate return on Kyle Hamilton going top 15 and being a great safety, right? But Sean, we know how it works though, man. Things stack, and that's where pipelines are created. That's where momentum is built. It's not just about, and Brandon Plesser, I know that they have a better chance with him. I'm just making the point that they have a chance at all. Was my point, my friend. Come on, man. Follow me here. Follow me, Sean. I wasn't saying they have the best chance out of any safety on the board is with Zach Ford. I'm just saying that they have a chance is the point, right? Mm-hmm. But Sean, they have Julian Love, who's doing a good job in the NFL, but then Kyle Hamilton. Now, Cam Hart. Now, well, also Louis Gilman, like throw a couple of those guys in. But now, Benjamin Morrison next year. That's where you stack, man. How do teams become DBU or anything you It's by stacking, man. It doesn't happen in a year. It doesn't happen with a snap of a finger. It happens over time. And I think over time, this is where we're trending. This is where it's going. This is where it's going. And I'm excited for it, man. I am. And also, I mean, they're not just closing their eyes about the few that I was talking about, right? The four names that we know, or the five names that we know. Also, like a Dalen Penson, who's kind of a late blooming top 150 kid out of Georgia. He's visiting Notre Dame in June and camping. And who knows if that goes really well and Notre Dame loves what he looks like and all that type of stuff, then maybe he's a guy that is added to that board of guys that they'll push for. I mean, it's a great place to be in, man. And top 20 kid, I'm number 20 commit in the class for Notre Dame, Sean. And by the way, they're attacking the state of Florida, my friends. They're attacking it. Aren't they? Ivan Taylor. We have...
But Notre Dame can't recruit Florida, though. Well, that's the previous regime said that.
Yeah. Ah, man. Can't recruit
Florida.
They were absent in the state of Florida for a while.
Have to shop down a different aisle, right? We have to shop down a different aisle in Notre Dame, right?
Well, they're shopping down the aisle of top 50 Ivan Taylor, top 50 Dallas Golden, Davion Dixon, four-star out of Miami Palmetto, by the way. Like, not exactly the most Notre Dame-friendly environments down there. Justin Thurman, you know, who I know Justin Thurman was originally a St. Louis kid, but we're still going to count him as a Florida guy. We're still going to count him there, right? And, Sean, do you know the buzz? You want to talk about the buzz? Did you see the first person of note that retweeted the Dallas Golden, Hayes Fawcett put out his graphic? Did you see the first person to put it out and tag him, Sean?
There's a guy named
Javon Boggs out of Cocoa High School with some eyes and being like, hashtag Notre Dame question mark. Sean, this isn't stopping, man. The state of Florida is on notice, my friend. They're on notice to Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
The buzz is real. Do you remember the days? This is so funny to me, man. Do you remember the days when coaching staffs had like states and regions? Like, I don't know how it's set up with Notre Dame and their coaching staff. I just don't get that feel. I just think everybody's like, we're all attacking every state, every region. We have to build up the buzz. We have to get Notre Dame and its flag flying high. In the best parts of this country for talent. And that's just a good feeling, right? Because I remember Brian Kelly and his staff, I actually said his name, but the previous regime and his staff, they really had regional breakdowns of guys that would go out and you were responsible for this state, you were responsible for that region. I don't know if that exists now, but it just seems like a collective effort from Notre Dame. It really does.
It's all about effort, Sean, at the end of the day, right? But look, I'm not going to throw shade at BK here much, right? But I do think that there was a propensity to settle at times for certain type of athletes because some other athletes required a little bit more efforts, right? Sean, I'll ask this question, and give me your honest answer here, okay? And then we'll move on from the Brian Kelly conversation. Do you think Brian Kelly and his staff would have been patient with Javon Boggs, who was once committed to Ohio State, that's a Cocoa, Florida kid?
No, and I'm sure we're going to talk about another kid. Now, this is what's so great about this staff. The players that the previous regime would just give up on at any hint of anything negative. Like, well, you know what? Just give up. Notre Dame is, there's a local kid here at the wide receiver position that they've had every reason to drop off. Every reason. Nope. And guess what? He just announced his official. So, like, that is high-level recruiting, and that shows you where they feel like the program is. That's what makes me so excited about 2024, because it's a bigger statement than, dude, we got this person to come in through in the transfer portal. We got that guy to come in. This is going to be a season about the overall health of this program. That it's about everything. Like, the administration has answered the bell. Have they not?
Yeah.
Mike Denbrock, they answered the bell. New facilities, they answered the bell. Like, what else? Okay, cool. They're on board. Coaching staff, Marcus Freeman feels like, man, it's the best assembly of coaches I've had since my time here. It's only been two seasons. This is your third. Great.
Yep.
Now, let's see if everything starting August down at College Station lines up with everything we're feeling leading into that position or leading into the fall. It's a great time to be a fan, man. And the recruiting is just, this isn't even the pinnacle. I don't even think this is the apex yet. I think Notre Dame is still ascending. That's the scary thing about it.
Sean, imagine if they make a deep playoff run or they win a national championship this year. Could you imagine? I mean, the instant impact that that would have just continuing to raise the level of expectations in recruiting and player development would just be through this roof, man. It really would be. So, yeah, man, exciting times. We'll talk more about, obviously, 2025 recruiting. What's the end? Because as of today, guys, 20 commitments in the class for Notre Dame in the 2025 class. Not expecting a long list of players still, right? I mean, you have your quarterback, you have your two running backs. We'll see if anything, you know, transpires with James Simon, but you have your two running backs in the class. You have your tight ends. We have opportunity, Notre Dame, to potentially get two more wide receivers on the board, which we'll obviously talk about down the road. They're still recruiting Josh Petty, although that's a little bit of a pipe dream. Offensive line, they can stick a three and they'll be totally fine. Defensive line, as of now, seems like it's done. We'll see if Notre Dame adds a guy to the board or they, you know, do those types of things down the stretch. You never know. They tried to last year with Nnamdi Okpoku down the stretch. They tried that one. So I'm sure Notre Dame will be active of evaluating defensive linemen and see if they can pull something down the stretch. We expect one to two more linebackers in the class. We expect Notre Dame to pull for two more corners potentially, and we expect one more safety if Jadon Blair wants to come to University of Notre Dame. So, Sean, not a ton of names left on the board, and we will talk about if anybody wants to ask about any specific players Notre Dame is pushing for or status. Again, super chats, and we'll make sure to hit on it during this show. But we're going to transition to draft talk next, guys. Excited for it. Seven Notre Dame players that were selected in the 2024 NFL Draft. We'll talk about fits. We'll talk about our expectations. We'll even talk about some of the PFA and UDFA types and the rookie minicamp invite that we got recent news of over the weekend as well. Before we do, though, hit that like button. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell so you know when the next show is coming up. Boards.averagebreakdown.com. We all will have a constant update. Coaches are also on the road this week again from the recruiting perspective. So updates on how those visits are going. We got it all for you guys. Boards.averagebreakdown.com. Also go to the free content at irishbreakdown.com. You can also go to Athlon as of now still, the SI site, obviously. So split up the content. Go read it all. And we'll be back next year on the Irish Breakdown podcast.